Advent is a forward-looking season. It's a season of hope, of joyful anticipation, preparation. And so during Advent, we always read prophecies of the Old Testament, which were preparation for the coming of the Messiah. One of them is today's first reading. The Lord says through the prophet, "But a very little while, and then the prophet gives a whole series of things that are going to happen in a very little while. Lebanon turned into an orchard, becomes a forest, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, the lowly will rejoice, the poor will rejoice, no more tyrants, no more arrogant people, and no more injustice, etc." Well, did it happen? We because we look at things in such a natural way, we look around and we say, well, there's still a lot of tyrants and there's a lot of injustice and there are still blind people and there are still deaf people and there are still poor people. So obviously this prophecy has not yet been fulfilled. Then we come to the public ministry of Jesus. Jesus, who cured lots of people, thousands of people, many blind people, many deaf people, many people who were lame. He drove demons out of many people. He obviously had the power to heal people, and he did heal them. But he didn't heal everybody. And so that's what leaves people wondering, well, if Jesus had this extraordinary healing power, and if the prophecy is that in a very little while, the eyes of the blind shall see, why are there still blind people? Now, the wrong conclusion to that, the wrong answer to that question is that God can't do it or God doesn't want to do it. The right answer has to do with a different kind of blindness and a different kind of healing. So we have to translate our natural view of things, or have to transcend our natural view of things, and see that the healing work, the saving work of Jesus, is not limited to physical healings. If we're going to focus only on physical healings, well, we're going to be disappointed, because it's clear enough that Jesus doesn't heal everybody. Even in his own lifetime, he didn't heal everybody, much less for the rest of time. So the prophecy that says, out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see, does not mean that every person who has ever experienced physical blindness will suddenly be cured. It doesn't mean that. If it meant that, well, then the prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. No, Jesus wants us to know that he is a healer, he has power to heal, but that the healing he comes to bring is greater than physical healing. And this is going to come up again and again in Advent. The expectation of people and the surprising way in which that expectation is fulfilled and surpassed if we have eyes of faith. Now that's where this gospel is instructive to us, because this is a healing story, the healing of two blind men. But it's not simply that there were two blind men and Jesus healed them. That's certainly true. That's the basic storyline. But there's something more going on here, and Jesus makes it clear that he wants to do more than simply give them their sight. So here come the two blind men. In the other gospels, it's one blind man, but in Matthew's gospel, there's two. Maybe because this is a different healing event. Maybe it's because Matthew wants to get us to realize that blindness does not only affect one person. The blindness that he's talking about is the blindness of the whole human community. So the two blind men represent everybody. If there's only one, it could say, oh, it represents one person. But if there's two, it represents everybody. So here's the blind human family calling out to Jesus, "Have pity on us, Son of David, the Messiah, have pity on us." When they approach Jesus, what does Jesus say to them? Do you believe that I can do this? He doesn't say, do you want to be healed? Do you want to see? He says, do you believe that I can do this? So the issue here is not seeing, but believing, faith. They say, yes, Lord, they believe. And it seems very true that they do believe, because they wouldn't have called out to him in the first place. If they didn't believe, he could have pity on them. He touches their eyes and says, let it be done for you according to your faith. See how he connects the healing with faith. So this is twice in the two statements that he makes to the two blind men. He mentions two times faith or believing, and then their eyes are open. Which means, as we journey through Advent, as we, the blind community of the blind human family, journey through Advent, the key is faith. The key is not physical sight, but what we see, or even our capacity to see. Now, to reflect on this, I'd like to turn to a beautiful passage from St. Anselm. I've used this passage on this liturgical day before, but I'm going to do it again. It's a beautiful reading. This is from today's Office of Readings, Friday, first week of Advent, second reading from the Office of Readings, from a writing of St. Anselm. Now, St. Anselm was one of the most brilliant theologians of the Middle Ages. He lived in about 9 or 10 centuries ago. Doctor of the Church. I mean, this man could see. He could see very well. He had a very perceptive mind. Listen to what he says. This is from his Proslogion. But before I get to the part about seeing, let me read the little introduction. It's addressed to us. Insignificant man, escape from your everyday business for a short while. Hide for a moment from your restless thoughts. Break off from your cares and troubles, and be less concerned about your tasks and labors. Make a little time for God and rest a while in Him. So the first thing he says is, don't let all these distractions and burdens and concerns blind you. Open the eyes of your hearts to something that you're missing because you're so busy doing everything else. So get away from this busyness, this restlessness, and make time and space for God. Enter into your mind's inner chamber. Shut out everything but God and whatever helps you to seek Him. And when you have shut the door, look for Him. This is a different kind of seeing, right? Looking. Speak now to God and say with your whole heart, I seek your face, Lord, I desire. What is St. Anselm telling us to do? Exercise our desire to see, not with our eyes, see with the eyes of the heart, see with faith. Strengthen the faith. After telling us this, St. Anselm turns to God. And listen to what he says. Lord my God, teach my heart where and how to seek you, where and how to find you. Lord, if you are not here, where shall I look for you in your absence? Yet, if you are everywhere, why do I not see you when you are present? But surely you dwell in light inaccessible. He's quoting St. Paul there. God dwells in inaccessible light, meaning there's no way we can get into that space. You dwell in light inaccessible. Where is light inaccessible? How shall I approach light inaccessible? By very definition, I can't enter it. It's inaccessible. Who will lead me and bring me into it that I may see you there? And then, by what signs and under what forms shall I seek you? I have never seen you, Lord my God. I do not know your face. And he goes on with this cry of his heart to see the Lord. So this is the same cry that these two blind men make to Jesus, Son of David. let us see you. But we have to acknowledge we can't see the Lord. We can't make God visible to us. We can't pull God into our little box. All we can do is open up a space in ourselves, and then it's up to God to do the rest. So this is an Advent lesson. Yes, God promises that he will come in a little while. We know he will come in his own mysterious ways and in his own timing. But we can't make it happen. Even though we pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, show us your face. We don't make it happen. What we do is we submit ourselves to God, and he makes it happen. These blind men in the gospel did not give themselves sight. All they said is, yes, Lord, we believe you can do it. And Jesus did the rest. So you see what St. Anselm is teaching us, the same thing. We have to set aside anything that gets in the way of God. That's the whole Advent work, right? Level the mountains, fill in the valleys, prepare the way. That's what he says here. You know, break off from your cares and troubles and your restless thoughts, and be less concerned about all your busyness. Make a little time for God. Make a little space for God. Rest for a while in God. That's what we do. And then God is the one who does the rest. As I say, in the mystery of his own ways, of his own timing. But we can be absolutely sure that he will come, and we can be absolutely sure that he wants us to see. He wants us to see him. He is a revealer. He reveals himself. So this kind of expectant faith, this kind of hopeful anticipation is the Advent attitude. Readiness for God whenever he comes. Eyes open, as far as we can open them, so that God can do the rest. And if we have that disposition, that means we're ready. And if we're ready, okay, then we're having a good Advent. We're ready for Christmas. So with the example of these blind men, with the guidance of this doctor of the church, St. Anselm, with confidence that God is faithful to the promises that have been revealed in the prophecies, we continue our Advent journey looking for and waiting for the Lord.